Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of James this morning, to James chapter 1. We're in a series right now at the beginning of the new year called Growth Agents. The goal for Christians after we are saved is to grow, and God has given us some growth agents that we need in our lives. We need to understand them better so that we can grow to be more like Jesus. So I'm wondering this morning as we start this message, is there anything that you would like to change about your life in 2020? I'd imagine, really, to a person, there's something out there. Maybe you want to be more loving. Maybe your goal in 2020 is to be more forgiving. Maybe more patient with people who really get on your nerves and push your buttons. Maybe you'd like just to have a better sense of joy or contentment or peace, or you'd really like to figure out what it is that God would have you to do. I don't know if you go into bookstores or not, but if you like books or you go into books, this is the time of the year where self-help books are at the forefront. You can Google self-help and get all kinds of books, and there is no end of books that are written that are self-help books. I mean, they have them for everything. There are books that help you to overcome fear. There are books that are written that are self-help books to help you to worry less. There's books to help you overcome bad habits and to help improve your self-esteem and to help you improve your finances. There's even books that are written that are self-help books on how to win friends and influence people. There's all kinds of books that are written that are self-help books. Now, here's the problem. There's a lot of people that categorize the Bible as just another self-help book. Folks, the Bible is not a self-help book. It's a supernatural help book. This is the Word of God. This is God's inspired Word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it is written supernaturally to give you what you need more than anything else. The main message of the Bible is the gospel. The gospel is simply that Jesus came to this earth, that He lived a perfect life, that He died a sacrificial death, He rose again on the third day, and He offers you a free gift of salvation. He who knew no sin became sin so that you might be forgiven and cleansed and supernaturally made right with God. It's a supernatural help book. But here's the thing that we don't think about as Christians. A lot of us have done that. Most people in this room could probably tell me a date or a time or at least the occasion when they made a prayer of surrender. They repented of their sins and they trusted Christ as Savior. And you're now maybe 6 years removed from that, or 10 years removed from that, or maybe longer. And what happens now? Well, listen, here's the other problem or misnomer about the Bible. A lot of people think that the gospel is the ABCs of salvation. It talks about the gospel being the ABCs, but I like what J.D. Greer says. He says the gospel is not the ABCs of Christianity, it's the A through Z of Christianity. So God still wants to move and work supernaturally in your life, but He wants to use His Word to do it. The main way that God communicates to you and I today is through His Word. And so I know that there's a lot of you today that this year, your goal is to learn more about God's Word. And some of you have taken up my challenge and you're reading the Bible through on the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. We're reading it together. I'm seeing some of your comments, and so I know you're doing it. Others, maybe you're in a new small group this year. Or maybe you're doing a daily quiet time and you've not done that for a long time, or maybe not ever. And I say amen to that. But here's the other thing, and this is what really where I want to go with this message today. How does the Lord really use those things to change you? You know, it's awful easy to read the Bible through. You can read the Bible through a bunch of times. You can sit and listen to me preach week after week. You can go to a life group and still not be changed. And what happens then is the reading of the Word of God just becomes legalism. And you become pious and look down on people and think, well, I've read the Bible through X number of times, or I've done this or that or the other, and you've never really been changed. How does the Bible change your life? That's the question I want foremost on your minds today as we look at this passage of Scripture. And James writes a very convicting letter, very convicting book, but it's also a very important book to help us to understand how we get this supernatural book into us, more than a self-help book. So, James chapter 1, I'm going to pick up reading in verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter, through verse 27, and I want you to hear this word. Let's hear the word of God in this series called Growth Agents. James writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was." Verse 25, key verse. "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does." Then verse 26, "If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Father, I love you and I thank you for your word. It truly is a supernatural work and a supernatural help to all of us. Thank you that the gospel is clearly unveiled in your word. And we receive that today, Lord. We receive that freely as your gift. But Lord, the gospel is more than just about the gift of salvation. It's about the growth of sanctification. And so help us today, Lord, to learn how we can better comprehend and follow and apply your word and use it to bring supernatural change into our lives. It's a new year. There's things we're examining in our lives. There's things we don't like about ourselves. There's things we want to change. We want your word, the Bible, to be a growth agent in our lives. So help us, Lord, and help me to preach today. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to speak and to share these truths. So help me to do it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I realize that any time the Word of God is opened, there are two huge responsibilities that fall on people. First of all, there is a huge responsibility when it comes to teaching the Word of God. I am fully aware of this, that any time that I preach or any time that I teach or any time that one of you teaches, if you're a teacher, there is a weight because somebody's life hangs in the balance. Somebody needs the life-changing message of the gospel. Somebody's soul is burdened. Somebody needs something in their lives to change. And so I realize I bear a heavy burden, and I don't take that lightly. I prepare, I work hard, I pray, and I want God to affect the way that I teach. But James also implies here that there's a heavy responsibility for you to listen to the word that is being preached or the word that is being taught. You know, it's amazing to me that I know this happens every week, and some people come up to me and verbalize it. I get the positive. Y'all are polite, and I don't get the negative. But the positive is that every week there's people who come up, they say, "David, your message touched my heart today. This message really did a work in my heart and my life. I'm changed. God used this to change my life." And I say amen to that. I give God the credit for it. But I have no doubt that at the same time, there's also somebody leaving on the same sermon, same message, and they're like muttering to themselves, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that." Every week that happens. Now, how can that happen? Same service, same message, same messenger, same words. How can this be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. How you listen to the word makes all the difference. How you hear it makes all the difference in the world. And even when you're reading the Bible on your own, how you receive it makes all the difference in the world. So, back to our original question. Is there anything that you can do, that I can do, to understand the Word better, to hear the Word better, so that it changes my life? How does the Bible bring about spiritual growth? How is the Bible a growth agent in your life? That's what I want to talk about today for the next few minutes. And I want this to be very practical. There's a lot of things you can say about the Bible. You know that I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. And we want to be a Bible-centered, Bible-focused church. But today, I want to look and break down this passage and talk about how practically James gives us some ideas on how the Bible really can be a growth agent in your life. So there's 3 points I want to make. Here's point number one. We must be ready to receive, God's Word. Look with me back in the first part of the text in verse 19. Because I believe in these verses, James is talking about the reception of God's Word. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." You're thinking, wow, that's an interesting way to start out this on how to hear God's Word. That's good advice in counseling for couples and relationships. Is that good advice for hearing the Word of God too? Well, yes it is, as a matter of fact. A little farther down, look at what he says here. He goes on to say, "Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." You know that word for moral filth there? It's interesting. You're not going to like this very much. But the Greek word that's used there is actually the Greek word for earwax. Earwax. I knew that that was kind of gross, but that's really what it's talking about. Now, when somebody has a problem with earwax, the problem is, and I have this problem from time to time, is your ears get clogged up and you can't hear very well. And you got to extract that wax out of your ears. And that's what he's talking about. So let me use something that's maybe a little more palatable than earwax. What he's saying here right now is, if you're going to hear the Word of God, put your hearing aids in. You need some hearing aids to really hear the Word of God. I know some of y'all use hearing aids. Heard a story about a fellow that really was losing his hearing big time, and he knew it. His family knew it, so they finally chided him into going to the doctor, and so he went to the doctor, and he got some brand new hearing aids. But he didn't tell his family about it. And he gets home, and a couple weeks go by, and the doctor calls him back for a follow-up, tests him. He says, "Man, you're doing great. I mean, this is awesome. You can hear perfectly. I bet your family is so appreciative that you can hear now." He says, "Well, actually, they don't know. I haven't told them anything." He said, "I just sit around in conversations. I've changed my will 3 times. So, you know what? Hearing aids help, don't they? They help a lot. Some of you need to be hearing what the Word of God is saying and speaking to you personally. You need your hearing aids in. What James is saying here, I believe, is that there must be a readiness, an eagerness, a desire to listen to the Word of God with an open heart, with an open mind, with a mind that wants to receive what God has for you. Now you say, "Well, why wouldn't I do that? I'm here today, aren't I?" Well, there's some things that plug up your ears and plug up your hearing. And I'm not speaking literally. You can hear what I'm saying today, but you're really not hearing it. You're really not grasping it. You're really not receiving it to yourself. You say, "Well, what would cause me to do that? Why would my ears be stopped up? Why would I need a hearing aid?" Let me give you 3 suggestions or 3 thoughts here. Here's the first thought. Don't let your emotions keep you from hearing the Word of God. Don't let your emotions keep you from hearing the Word of God. This phrase here, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry, that has an emotional connotation to it, doesn't it? We're emotional beings. Sometimes we can let our emotions cloud our vision or our ability to hear the Word of God. Sometimes I'm not a good listener. Sometimes my mind is wandering. Oftentimes my emotions are caught up in that. Sometimes I'm not a good listener at home, and my wife is quick to point that out when I'm not. And so we got to be careful about that. But listen, do you know, according to what James is saying here, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a purpose? Sometimes we just need to be quiet and still. I'm reminded of Mary and Martha and how Martha was busy and about distracted and about all these things. What did Mary do? She sat at the feet of Jesus. And that's what Sunday ought to be. You know, for a lot of us, Sunday is just as cluttered as any other day of the week. And not only that, but you know the devil uses our emotions against us. I don't know how many times, and my kids are gone now, they're grown. But when my kids were growing up, Saturday night would be fight night. Or even Sunday morning. We would be getting along great and flawlessly. And then on the way to church, something would happen. And we'd come into church and we'd be angry at one another. Or we'd be, and I'm even the preacher, so I've got to go off to myself and get right with God. And you have that happen to you too, don't you? And what I'm saying is your emotions are not right when you come into the house of the Lord. You know, I was reading about a Korean church. And a pastor had observed this. He had been to a worship service. And you know, in this Korean church, before anyone ever greets anyone or says anything, when they come into that church, they bow and they spend time alone with the Lord in prayer. They're quieting their mind. They're preparing their hearts. You know, I love the fellowship. I love to hear you guys talking, and I love how you hang around with one another after the service. That's good. We need to protect the unity of our church. But we also need to make sure that we spend some time in the morning before the Lord's Day getting quiet, getting our hearts and our minds ready to receive the Word of God. If you're bound up in your emotions or something's going on in your life, you're not going to have the attitude that you need. You're not going to have an attitude of calmness as you come in to hear the Word of God. And so if something has upset you, deal with it. Just wait, sit out in your car, skip life group if you need to. But get your heart right before you come in to listen to the Word of God. Before we even get to church, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're defeated, and we don't hear the Word of God. Second is, don't let your transgressions keep you from the Word of God. Some of us, we're not hearing the Word of God today because there's sin, and that's that moral filth that he uses his language here. There's something in your life that you haven't confessed, and you're ashamed of it. You know it's wrong, and you're saved. I'm talking to a saved person right now. I'm not talking about someone who needs to be saved. But rather than deal with it, you hang on to it. You don't take it to the Lord in prayer. And you know what? You're not able to hear this message today because your heart is hardened. And you've got this sin in your life that's not been dealt with. James says to remove or rid yourself of all moral filth. And again, that word there is literally the word for earwax, which blocks your hearing. Get rid of it. Put it away. And then he says to humbly receive the implanted word. In other words, don't let your assumptions, that's the third point, keep you from hearing the Word of God. We need to humbly receive the Word of God. You know what? I see some people sometimes they'll come in and their arms are crossed and they're just ready to debate. They're ready to argue. You know what? I've got a beef with God. God wasn't fair to me in this situation. God wasn't right. God didn't do me right. And you know what? They're not going to receive anything today because they haven't humbly received the implanted word. And so that word for implanted is an interesting word. It's a word about seed. It's a word about harvest. And it reminds me that you can take two seeds. I'm not a master gardener by any stretch of the imagination, but I know this. You can take two exact seeds and put them in different kinds of soil and get a very different result, can't you? I mean, you can plant one in soil and it can have a great crop, and the other cannot have a good crop. What's the difference? One soil is prepared and the other soil is not prepared. So as you come in to listen to the Word of God, that would be my first question. What kind of soil are you? James said, receive the Word of God with the right heart or the right attitude. So if you're one of these people and you say, God never speaks to me, I never get anything out of that sermon, or I never get anything out of that Bible study, well, is there bitterness you need to let go of in your life? Is there anger or some pent-up frustration? Something emotional that's blocking you today? Or maybe there's something that you just need to confess in your life. You need to get right with the Lord. That's the first step that James is talking about. Be ready to receive the Word of God. Come expectantly. Come eagerly. You don't have a perfect preacher, and you never will. But you've got a perfect God, and He wants to grab you today. I've had some people speak to me through the years. I never thought that person would speak a word. And I've heard preachers different times, and I thought, how in the world is that guy going to speak to me? And God used that person. God can use anyone to speak His message. We must be ready to receive the Word of God. But here's the second point. And this is probably, again, the key part of this passage. Number two, we must be ready to reflect, on God's Word. And I want to really point out verse 25. I want you to skip down to verse 25, and I want you to look at this. Verse 25 says, "But the one who looks intently..." Underline that if you do that in your Bible. "The one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it will be blessed." That word there, to look intently, means a sustained gaze. Not just a quick glance, but to meditate, to focus on, to use this to evaluate and assess and make changes that are necessary in your life. Now, here's the illustration that he uses. Go back up and look at verse 23. James says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror." That's the second object lesson or illustration we'll use today. If the first are hearing aids and get your attitude right, the second is to make sure and don't forget your mirror. Use your mirror. How many of y'all used a mirror this morning before you came to church? Probably everybody here did. How many of you looked into the mirror for less than a minute before you came today? All right, it shows if you did. How many of you looked in the mirror for more than 5 minutes today before you came? All right, most of you did. Why do we look into the mirror? Well, a mirror is used for two things. It's used for assessment, first of all, and then second of all, it's used for renovation, right? You'll get that in a minute. It's used for assessment, and it's used for renovation. If I just glance at my face in the mirror, and some mornings I feel like doing that, I don't really want to look at myself, I might miss something that I need to adjust or I need to renovate before I go out into public. Maybe I have some toothpaste on my face, or maybe my hair's messed up, or I don't know what it might be. But I might need to renovate something in my life. If I just glance at that mirror has not served its proper purpose. James says God's Word is like a mirror. And that mirror is for you to look intently into. You know, a lot of people are afraid to look intently into the mirror. They're afraid to look into the mirror because they're afraid of what they're going to find. They know there's things in their life. And you know what? The Bible is going to be convicting. There's times where the Bible is going to really walk all over your toes. Not just the preacher, but the Bible. But that's good. Because you want to look in that mirror so you can adjust your life. You can evaluate your life. And you can center your life on Jesus Christ. Many years ago, Queen Elizabeth, she was very beautiful in her younger days, decided to remove all of the mirrors from the Queen's Palace, Buckingham Palace. And the reason she wanted all the mirrors removed is because she could not stand the fact that she was getting older. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people, that's what they do with the Bible today. They remove the Bible, they maybe have cursory readings, but they don't really use the Bible to evaluate and to understand their life and where they need to change. You know, that's one of the healthiest things you can do, is just to repent and to trust Christ and to let Christ get close in your life. And by the way, here's another word about that. You know, we want to help you with that. And that's why we take time to provide outlines for you. These outlines are for you to remember. You know, I was reading, and this is really a discouraging word for a pastor, so I'm not going to dwell on it, but the Air Force did a study several years ago, and they found that people forget 95% of what they hear within 72 hours of hearing it. Now, that's depressing for a pastor. When I've worked all week long to deliver a sermon, get it ready for you, and by Wednesday, most of y'all have forgotten 95% of what I'm saying up here. So that's why we provide notes for you to take. I'm not just doing that to be mean. I want you to interact with the Word of God. I want you to receive it and reflect on it and use it to change your life, because I believe this is a change agent. I believe the Word of God is supernatural help for you and for me as well. I need it too. I need that mirror every day. And so here's what I'm trying to say, all right, as we look at this second part. Before I say that, I want you to listen to this verse. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful." It's useful for teaching, for rebuking. Rebuking just means to point out a fault. I know you've not heard that word since Sanford and Son. I rebuke you, Fred Sanford. That's what Aunt Esther used to say. But rebuking is to point out a fault. It's useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I love that phrase, training in righteousness. Just like an athlete trains for an Olympic event. Or just like you go into basic training in the army so that you can fight a war and win. Hey, we're trying to fight a spiritual war and win it. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man or the woman of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what James is saying, these are your subpoints here in point two, is first of all, evaluate your life with the Word of God. Use it just like you use that mirror in the morning. Evaluate yourself right now, today. Think about where you are. Don't just give it a quick glance, but chew on it. Interact with it. Ask questions of yourself and questions of the text. Some of you, you not only have a mirror, you've got a mirror that magnifies. And my wife has one of those magnification mirrors. And whenever I have these nose hairs that bug her to death, she says, go to that magnification mirror. I can't see those without help. I'm really making myself look great today, aren't I? But I need that mirror for that purpose. Some of y'all, you need to really think deeply about the Word of God. Let it impact your life. There's things that you may not see or know about yourself that the Bible's going to point out. James talks about that. He's saying, have a desire to see yourself clearly. Warts and all, or hairs and all, or whatever. Then second point I'll make is to renovate your life by the Word of God. You can look at it and be depressed and then walk off and think, nothing I can do about that. But you can do something about it. You can renovate your life. You don't have to stay the same way you are. You know what? You may have been stuck for years or decades. This is a new day. You're a new creation in Christ. If you'll do something about it, if you'll trust Him, if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, God wants to do a supernatural work in your life. And that's what it talks about here. Notice how he talks about the law of liberty. This law of liberty, or law of freedom, perfect law of freedom, persevering in it, he's not talking about the Mosaic law. He's talking about the grace that Jesus Christ offers. He's talking about the gospel, just like J.D. Greer said. The law of liberty is the gospel. It sets you free from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. And so you can be free indeed if you'll renovate your life with the Word of God. Then thirdly is just to build your life on the Word of God. Build your life on the Word of God. Not just glancing when you need it or when you get in trouble, but every day you look in that mirror and get ready for work or for school. Every day, build your life on the Word of God. There's a verse that we had for our devotion in Upward last week. If you're an Upward coach, you had to teach on this verse. But it's from Matthew chapter 7. It's a story that we can tell from our childhood days in Sunday school. The wise man, Jesus said, built his house on what? The rock. The solid rock. The rock of the gospel. Why did he do that? Because the rains and the storms ultimately beat against his house. And what happened to his house? His house withstood the storms of life. But the foolish man, Jesus says, does not apply my word, and he builds his house on what? On the sand, the shifting sand. And the same storms come to that guy, the same winds beat up against that house, and the house collapses. Why? Because it's not built on the rock. And so build your life on the Word of God. It's no wonder that our lives aren't changed. We just come in, give a cursory reading of the Word of God. We need to reflect on it, review it, and remember it. You know, memorization is one of the greatest things you can do. Memorizing Scripture, hiding God's Word in your heart, loving God's Word. That's what we need to do. We need to look intently into the perfect law of freedom. Persevere in it. Build your house, build your life on the rock, and you will be blessed. You see how it says that there? You will be blessed. Then the third and final point today is we must be ready not only to receive God's Word, but to respond to God's Word. We must be ready to respond to God's Word. Some of us, we are hearing it today. We want to use it to evaluate our lives. But you know what? The bottom line is we've got to be doers of the Word, right? That's what it says here. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. And, you know, that's another thing, is I really work hard to try and make the Bible simple. I know that there's a lot of complex things in the Word of God. There are some difficult concepts and ideas, but I really try to make it practical and simple because I believe the Bible is a book of practical application. You and I need to apply it to our lives so that we can have victory. Christ wants us to have the abundant life. And so I try to present it in a way that's clear, easy to understand, and put into practice. I want you to be able to do the Word and not just hear the Word of God. You know, it's crazy to think that we're great Christians just because we've read the Bible. I don't care how many times you've read it through. There's an old saying, it's not how many times have you been through the Bible, but how many times has the Bible been through you? We need to be doing the Word of God and not hearing it only. We need to mark our Bibles, there's no doubt about that. But we need to let our Bibles mark us too. And that's what James is saying. He's saying if you want to be blessed, you've got to live the Word of God, not just hear it. But do it. Apply what you're learning in the Word of God. This word here for hear is an interesting word. In verse 22, about being hearers of the Word, it's where we get our English word audit. Everybody knows what an auditor is. Be doers of the Word and not auditors. But don't just think about an auditor in a tax sense. I know it's tax season. Think about it in a school sense, all right? Some of you may have had to audit a class at some point in time. And if you've ever audited a class, you know what that means. It means that you didn't have to take a test. You didn't have to do the homework. You didn't have to write a paper. You didn't have to participate in any of the projects or do any of the assignments. All you did was show up for class. And you know what? I'm afraid today in the church in America, we've got a lot of auditors. All they think they have to do is show up for class on Sunday. I'm telling you. We come in and listen, but we don't put it into practice, and we don't see our lives changed. And I'm guilty of it as well. And so I want to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. James says it's deception if we don't let it change us. Look at this. Look at verse 26. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And so, then he talks about what pure religion looks like. Now, this is not a complete definition of pure religion. But what he does say is true about religion. Religion, pure religion is more than what he says, but it's not less than what he says. These aspects are true. And so I'm going to talk about this in just a minute, but I want to read it to you first. Verse 27, powerful words. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So what he's got there, I believe, is a test. A test of what it really looks like to be a doer of the Word. What it looks like when God's Word is really getting through you and it really is changing you. And it's doing its supernatural work in your life. And so I want to give you three tests right here. Three tests to evaluate your life before we close out this message today. And think about how well you are doing or acting on what you're receiving or hearing when you come to church on Sunday, or you're in a small group, or you're studying the Word of God on your own. You ready for it? Here's test number one, the mouth test. The mouth test. And the mouth test is simply, you see it up there on the screen. How is the Word of God changing what comes out of your mouth? James is going to talk about the tongue later in chapter 3. We're not going to cover that today in this text or this topic. But you know what? Our mouths tell us a lot about where we are in our walk and if we're a doer of the Word or just a hearer, doesn't it? You know what? If we're running down our neighbors, if we're talking about our fellow members, if our language is a little salty, then we need to look at the mouth test and evaluate ourselves and look in that mirror. And we need to ask the Lord to change us. We need to beg Him to change us, and He will. He'll change your vocabulary. He'll change your attitude towards others. He'll change your propensity to gossip. But you got to let Him. You got to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. And so that's what he's talking about. First, there's the mouth test. Is what's coming out of my mouth honoring to God? It's a pretty good test. Second is the heart test. The heart test. And the heart test goes something like this. You see it there on the screen. Is the Word of God changing how you care about others and causing you to live with compassion? Look at what it says here in the text. It says that we are to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Why did he choose orphans and widows there? Well, first of all, because God has a heart for orphans and widows. He loves people that others marginalize and don't think about. And he loves people that really need a hand up. But he's also talking about orphans and widows because those are the kind of people that really can't do a whole lot for us. And a lot of times, I'm motivated to help somebody who can help me back. I'm going to help somebody who can maybe put a good word into me when I'm looking for a job promotion, or I'm looking for this in my life, or that, or the other. God says we need to have hearts as Christians and be doers of the word and help people who can't do anything to help us. Go out to people that are disadvantaged. Go out to people that are homeless. Go out to people who live in third world countries and help them. Help them for the glory of God. That's when you can evaluate your heart and see if your heart is right. And so get involved in a ministry. Get involved in helping someone. It doesn't have to be a formal ministry of the church. Just help somebody that's in your life that needs a hand up. And that's a heart test to show where your heart is in this growth process of being a doer of the word. And then the last one here is the purity test. The purity test. Is the word of God changing what you allow into your mind and heart? Verse 27, reading the last part of that, to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now again, I'm not up here to be Mr. Legalistic, but you know what? If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, your life ought to look differently than people around you. The problem with the church today is the church doesn't look any different than the world. And that's why we don't have any effectiveness. That's why we're not reaching people like we could. If your life reflects the vibrancy of Christ as well as the holiness of Christ, you'll draw people to yourself. And God will use that as a testimony. You'll be a trophy of His grace. And so, unstained just means to refuse to follow the world's way. You know, we need to be countercultural. The world is always going to be opposite to me. And I'm not saying the world doesn't have good things in it or there's not good things we can do. But I can just choose to live counter to the world. Some of y'all that are natural rebels, you like that right now. You can be a rebel for Christ. Live differently than people around you. You don't have to say okay to the values that the world has. Live for Christ. Stand out and be different. And let Christ change you. So, that's the proof. That's the proof that you're becoming a doer of the word, and not a hearer only. How are you doing on the mouth test? How are you doing on the heart test? And how are you doing on the purity test? It was daylight savings time. And the guy forgot to set his clock. And so he ran in. He was running late the whole morning. It was Sunday morning. And he came into church late. And the service was just about getting ready to end. And so he ran up to the usher and he said, "Is the sermon done yet?" And the usher was very wise. And he said, "The sermon has been preached, but it has yet to be done." Every week the same thing is true, not just on daylight savings time. The sermon has been preached. It has yet to be done. What will you do with it this week? Will you be a hearer of the word or a doer of the word? My prayer is that you'll hear the word, you'll reflect on it, you'll apply it to your life as it fits your life, and you'll become change agents, growth agents. People in this community will say there's something different about those people at Hillcrest. It's a crazy church, but I want to go there. Because people there, they're in love with Jesus, and Jesus is changing their hearts, and Jesus is changing their lives, and I want to be a part of that. Not just a part of this church, but I want to be a part of the Christian life. I want to be a follower of Jesus. We've talked about who's your one. And I know that hopefully y'all are still doing that. You've still got that one you're praying for. You want to change. You want to reach your one for Christ. You got to pray for them. You got to build a relationship with them. But you got to let God speak to your heart and change. You know what? I haven't won my one yet. I've been working on him for almost a year now. He's no closer to God now or to Jesus now than he was a year ago. But I'm not giving up. But you know what? Maybe I need to change my strategy. Maybe I need to let God change my heart. And I need to look at some of these tests. I need to look in the mirror. I need to clip a few nose hairs. I need to change some things in my life so that I'll be the change agent I need to be. I want God to change me so that God can use me to change others. Isn't that what it's all about? Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, I just thank you for this reminder. We're in this series called Growth Agents, and we're wanting to grow. It's the beginning of a new year, beginning of a new decade, and we're wanting to work on and develop the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines that bring about growth and change. Because we love you. We know we don't earn your salvation. You've given it to us freely. We don't deserve it. Even after we do grow, we still don't deserve it. We're still sinners saved by grace. But we love you and we want to obey you. And the best way that we can show we love you is to do what you ask us to do. And so, Lord, help us to be all in. All in your word this year. Your word has the potential to change every person in this room. There's not a one of us that couldn't be changed profoundly if we fall in love with your word. That's your love letter to us. And the gospel truly is in that. That's the main point, is being saved. But the gospel is all of the Christian life, not just the beginning. And so I pray that we would hear and receive your word like never before. Thank you for those that have already decided to make time to read through the Bible and to get into small groups and to study your word more wholeheartedly. But Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be an exercise in learning more knowledge. You say in your word, Jesus, to whom much is given, much is required. So if we're putting more knowledge into our minds and our hearts, we need to have more action in our lives. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make a decision, maybe they need to come and be saved this morning. Or maybe they need to rededicate their lives. Or maybe they've decided, your Spirit's speaking loudly and clearly, that this is where they need to join and be a part of. Lord, whatever step they need to take, help them to take their next steps toward you. And may you be honored and glorified. In your name I pray this prayer, Jesus. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet now. Keith is going to lead us in a closing song, Jesus Messiah. It's a beautiful song with powerful words. But if God is speaking even more powerfully in your heart right now, you come. Don't delay to come forward as God calls you and leads you. Take your next steps towards God.